This is Space Kate in sunny Florida on the Space Studies Program 2012, and I am here with the International Space University president, no less, Professor Walter Peters. That's not your only title. You kind of seem to do everything across the board.
No, that's a bit exaggerated, but I'm quite a long time already in the space sector, so I worked for ESA for many years on a number of very interesting projects. At the end of my career, I was responsible for astronaut activities. That's at the European Astronaut Center. Now I'm more into things like space tourism, space ports, point-to-point, and commercialization of space.
And we've had a couple of very interesting lectures from you about the costs and the cost implications of sending things into space, and also how do we get the public to understand what benefit they're getting from their tax dollars or pounds or euros that are going into space programs. One of the things that you were saying yesterday was that it's quite difficult for the public to really recognise what things in their everyday life have come from, you know, spin-offs from space. What do you think we can do about that?
I think it's the first thing is not we, but also the agencies, they should make a little bit better marketing. They should... I've told you the story yesterday that my director general from ESA is always asking the people in the taxi drivers, space is useful for you, isn't it? And then the standard answer is, no, I don't need space. I don't need space projects. I have a GPS. So we have not done a good job in explaining to the public how important space was for life. There are a few nice websites like NASA at Home where we do some attempts. Space in the space environment was very technical. So I think we wanted always to impress the people with very technical things. And I think it's much easier to try to explain the benefits of space to people with something which they see in their daily life. So if you're talking about cancer detection, or if you're talking about combustion, because everybody has a bill to pay and that space can help. If you talk about osteoporosis, which is a very topical subject and that we can do a lot about osteoporosis, we cannot cure it, but at least we can do something in the revalidation phase, thanks to the knowledge that we have from astronauts and so on. So we have to do a little bit better marketing in the coming years to inform the general public.
Do you think there's scope for perhaps the major space agencies and space companies to perhaps come together and have almost like a kind of like a kite mark or like a made in space sticker that we could start, you know, something that would let people, as soon as they see it on a product, would see it had a connection with space, just to make sure it is in their mind? Because like you say, with the GPS, obviously that couldn't happen without space, but people just don't see that connection anymore.
That's a good, it has been tried, by the way,
Okay.
It has been tried. It's a good idea, it's a clever idea, and it has been tried. Maybe the time is better now. It's been tried something like 15 years ago, where we had certain products which we put in space, and then they got a stamp, like let's say ESO 9000. Might be interesting to have an ESO norm that you say validated in space, but we're not there yet. It could be an idea.
So one of the other problems for the public is that they, you know, I kind of think quite often that space is kind of untouchable. You know, there are big agencies like NASA, and it's just so far from people's just everyday lives, or, you know, astronauts are almost kind of almost like Father Christmas, I like to think. You know that they exist, but you're never going to meet them. So one of the things that people think about space is, well, it's big and it's shiny, but it's expensive. Is it really expensive when we compare it to other things?
It's not so expensive. If you look at in Europe, the average European taxpayer is paying 11 euro per year, a bit less in pounds due to the exchange rate, but it's in the order of 11 euro per year. That's all that we're paying on the space sector, which, by the way, is something like half of what we're spending on gaming, and something like five times less that the average European is spending on tobacco and alcoholic drinks. So it is not so expensive, 11 euro. If you put it in a perspective, if you start making comparisons, which the public very well understands, I give you one example. The Galileo system, which is said, that's going to be costly for Europe. Well, the Galileo system is the equivalent of 150 kilometers of motorway. That is not so dramatic, but we have to learn again to educate the public and give them this sort of marketing-oriented key figures.
I like the example that you used with Apollo, if you'd like to give that one as well.
Oh, that was an interesting calculation that somebody made, that if you take the whole Apollo times, the 10 years, so between the statement of Kennedy and the end of the program, there was more money spent in America on popcorn than on the Apollo project. If you say that to the people, that is, of course, a completely different way of looking at the cost.
It just makes it that bit more understandable and a bit more tangible, so I think that's important. And so you also mentioned that you've got an involvement in the sort of commercialisation of space. It's a pretty exciting time. Just a few weeks ago, we've had the first berthing of a commercial capsule with the International Space Station. How do you think the future of commercial space will pan out? Will it be more on the kind of industry side with rocket launches, or do you think, say, in 10 years that I'll be able to be up in space myself?
Oh no, I see a complete new space economy coming, which is unprecedented. If you think about any aspect, it will not be only the launches. Launches will only be one aspect. You think about space tourism, and it is a complete ecosystem, an economic system going around it. It's clear that the public funding is going down, certainly after the crash of 2008 and 2011. There is a certain will also by the Obama administration to give more responsibility to the commercial sector. It's still a hybrid system at the moment, but whenever there is a market, there is an entrepreneur finding it. Look at SpaceX. Everybody thought that Elon Musk was risking a lot. He's going to be the big winner at the end if this continues and he gets exclusive contracts to go to the space station. It will go in all directions. It's more and more. The agencies, that's a little bit of a problem. The agencies should have the courage to cut off any product that has a commercial future and give it to the commercial sector and concentrate on research and on new products. But every product, if it's navigation, the number of navigation applications is unlimited. Unlimited what you can do to track trucks, to track goods, to track people. You talk about e-health, telehealth. An enormous market, but that is a market that has to be developed by people who know marketing.
And if we look at space tourism, we can't suddenly have a whole bunch of private space companies sending their tourists up to a sort of government or internationally funded space station. How do you think that the future of space stations will change? Will there be separate kind of agency stations and then commercial ones, or do you think there might be some way that they could sort of join together and have a half private, half public space station?
Two things before we go on the space station. I personally believe that space tourism is, yes, you're right, it's not a sustainable economic factor. It will be a number of years. I think it's going to result into point-to-point suborbital flights. That means going from one point to another point in a short time. So going from here, Florida, to London in 60, 70 minutes, it's exactly the same thing as happened in the beginning of the 1900s. 1915, you had the first commercial flight. 1919, it was already going between London and Paris. I see this going. That is one. So space tourism will probably go into two directions. One is a very commercial, flying from one point to another point very fast.
I would say Virgin Galactic are pretty much prime for that kind of thing.
Virgin Galactic is already thinking about the it is in the path of their thing. I think this best guess from the calculations we did, 7-8 years you will earn your money very well into the suborbital flight, but then you will have to find another market. Stations, yes, I presume that is the second thing. Already in the time when I was working on that, there were commercial bids for the Mir station to run that. That was for political reasons, not nothing. But I think the climate has changed. So I guess at a certain moment you can well imagine that somebody says, okay, we as government have not the money to continue the ISS. Is any commercial entity willing to take it over? I see this. Think about Bigelow. Our friend Bigelow, who is developing completely on his own these inflatable stations where he brings tourists to. I don't think so much in terms, as you mentioned, on a PPP, public-private partnership. I think that the time has come that people will go new space economy directly to the commercial sector without stepping stone having the government involved.
Well, that's certainly given me a few things to think about. Thank you ever so much for taking a moment to talk to us, and thank you for lecturing us today.
Pleasure, hope.